Hello, my children. Welcome to the jungles of recovery 101 radio, where we have our elder tribesmen, the Bruce, Shelley, and the Mark, learning us about the fellowships of all the ages. Most importantly, their favorites, the insanities. So join us, children, on this journey of recovery.
Thank you to Lori Faith for our marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AANAOACAGAPASLASLAACRRRMMDRAHAPAMOUSE. SLA.
SLA? The Sudanese Liberation Army?
I was going to say, I said SLA.
I think it's SLAA.
I know, but I was just thinking about
Patty Hearst.
Patty Hearst, Hearst Corporation.
Yeah, well, guest host tonight, Patty Hearst. Say hello, Patty.
Oh, hello.
Yeah. See, there you go.
Awesome.
Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B., as always, with
Shelley.
And Mark.
Sweet.
Dude. Sup.
How was your day?
My day was excellent.
Besides it being 115 million degrees.
Wow, it is. This is a preview of what going to hell is going to feel like. We're just all ready to go then, huh?
Oh, my God. It's been warm. Shelley, tell everyone about the four seasons that Southern California has.
Yes, I've determined we have four seasons. They are hot, fire, hoping for rain, and whining about the cloud cover.
But there used to be five seasons, and one of them kind of went away, and that was smog season.
Yeah, we don't get that anymore. We get smoke season now.
Yeah.
Due to fires.
There's ash falling around where we are right now from a fire over in the city of Montebello, where it's rolling through where the oil rigs are. That's always good. They're trying to keep it from jumping Rosemead Boulevard, which will put it right in the thick of a lot of stuff.
Oof.
Yeah. Yeah, not good. And then up in the canyon.
Yeah.
The canyon's always on fire. Always seems to be the same area, too.
Oh, yeah. The fire area.
The fire zone. Oh, the National Monument's on fire.
Yes.
The San Gabriel Mountain National Monument.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Yes. Whoops, I think God's calling.
God's calling Shelley. So what kind of plans you got this week, Mark? Anything good?
No, working all this week. Then next week I'm in Scottsdale.
Oh, well, you're just warming up for the heat there.
Yeah, I am. I'll be ready to go.
I'm going to Vegas on Friday, so we're just getting primed.
Mm-hmm.
Primed. Yeah, what are you doing in Scottsdale? Very close to my hometown.
Yep, I am. We got a store opening there, so I'll be out there for 4 days. And
you can see Camelback Mountain from Scottsdale easily. I was born right at the foot of Camelback Mountain.
My son graduated from ASU. I'm very familiar with Camelback Mountain.
And ASU is where I was born, at Sun Devil Stadium. So that's all good. We're going to see my friend James get married.
It's my friend, too.
We've heard tale of James on the show before. Uh-huh. He's the one I picked up off his lawn when he was 17 with black nail polish and falling down drunk at 9 a.m., empty gallon bottle of Gallo.
Seems like as good a thing to do at 9 a.m. as anything else.
So we'll say congratulations to James and his bride-to-be, Amanda.
Yes.
Yay.
Yay. So what do you got going on, Shelley?
Not dying.
Well, that's always better than the alternative.
What have I got going when?
This coming week.
Yeah, I'm going to go to work, and then I'm going to go watch James and Amanda get married. Just like you.
Yay. Okay. Okay. Well, you know what that means then.
What's it mean?
It means we're going to have a mystery version of the Boozy News because Shelley's going to do it. She hasn't seen any of the stories yet.
Awesome.
Oh, God.
This will be fun.
Oh, be awesome. will be absolutely fantastic. And just so people know, I found some boozy news stories in the recovery101radio@gmail.com account. I didn't go back far enough. There was about 20 more stories that I didn't see. So we have enough stories, but next week we'll have enough stories for that too. So, it's time for the boozy news, and the news not fit for booze.
All right, let's see what news we have that I
Mark,
have not
Mark
yet
Part
found.
Mark Pardue showed up.
Yeah, Mark showed up.
Mark, Mark. They've both been Mark at one time or another.
But they were not.
But neither one
of them
were
the
original
Mark.
The original one's a doctor.
Yeah.
Who I ran into.
Okay,
one day
we have shout outs to Brian, place. Bill, Phil K, Dan, Dakota, and Natalie, or Madalie, as you've written here, but I'm pretty sure it's Natalie. Joey Stryker, James, Alexandria, Randy, Georgette, Carol, Cassandra, John, Jeff, Damon, Deborah, and Michelle. Thank you very much.
Deborah and Michelle are new ones.
Well, no, we've had Deborah. Unless it's
well,
a
the
different
Michelle's
Deborah.
A new one.
Michelle,
she's,
yes. I
she sent
so.
Us an email, says I'm a new follower and left her phone number.
Cool.
Well, all right then.
I'm not sure if we're supposed to call her or something.
Michelle, let us know. Are you expecting a call? This one is from Brian. This came out of
rather lengthy.
Oh dear, Massachusetts.
Gloucestershire.
It looks like
think
it says
Scottish.
Gloucester.
Think Scottish or British.
Gloucestershire.
Worcestershire.
Was that
a woman who came into the police station? I don't see a name in the story yet. She walked into the police station with a black eye, and she wasn't wanting to report a crime. She wanted help to kick a heroin addiction. The alternative was...
What was the guy's name?
It doesn't say.
Okay. He's in there later.
The alternative was worse. She'd just go out and use again, she said. So she'd rather turn herself into the cops. But apparently the city is taking a different approach to the war on drugs. The police station is now the first stop for addicts who want to recover. They have a new law or policy or whatever that they started in June. Heroin and opioid addicts who voluntarily turn themselves in at a police station are put into a treatment center with, like, they have a team of people, like officers, clinicians, you know, doctors and stuff. They don't arrest them. They're not charged with a crime, and the treatment is covered through public and private insurance.
And you can even bring in all your dope and your paraphernalia and give it to the cops.
And they won't
and
ask
they
any
won't
questions.
Charge you anything for it. They'll take it for free.
And they'll go resell it.
And they'll go resell it to help pay for the drug program.
Now this started in June, and as of this last Thursday, it says 104 addicts have already turned themselves in looking for help. All were placed into the program. The total cost, $5,000. Because it's paid for with grants and
right.
stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's the cost to the department. That's not bad, actually, when you cool. consider all the money they
No, I think...
that's all the drugs they're reselling.
And somewhere in there it says something like, you know what, they just think that this is the next evolution on the war on drugs. You know, they're like, why aren't we helping people get clean rather than just throwing them in jail? Well, where they learn all kinds of new ways to get loaded.
And here's an interesting thing is that when they started this in June, a separate group, not law enforcement, started locally a new nonprofit to help raise money to support the program so that they wouldn't constantly be looking for grants and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And hoping that if this works out really well, they can export this model to other cities.
Sweet.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Awesome.
Bill sent this story in. The Boy Scouts are going to be, or at least they say they are considering, allowing openly gay men to be scouting leaders.
They voted that in.
They did vote that in? Okay.
Yes.
Now, because of that, they could end up losing half their membership because apparently a lot of people that are in the Boy Scouts these days are in the LDS Church. And the church has stated that they will most likely break away from Boy Scouts
and
America.
And LDS is?
Latter-day Saints, the Mormons.
Mormons.
Church of the Latter-day Saints.
435,000 Boy Scouts are sponsored by Mormons out of 2 million. So at least 20, like 26% of the entire.
Yep.
Yeah. And they that would be a lot of money, a lot of boys. Boy Scouts as a whole might collapse under the weight of that, of them leaving.
Yeah. But it's okay. They'll be fashionable.
They'll be what?
They'll be fashionable.
They'll be fashionable. I told Shelley we need more openly gay men to do Girl Scouts.
I don't see
what... They can improve those uniforms, first of all.
I think that people...
That's right.
I think that people have... some people have an unnecessarily skewed opinion that for some reason they think that gay male equals pedophile.
Yeah.
So they think that these guys... And they think that every gay man in the country suddenly wants to go and be a Boy Scout leader because they don't.
Or,
there was one
that
guy.
Every
one
gay
guy
male
year.
Likes every guy.
Yeah.
I don't think that... That's even the case. I just wonder why it is that if you want to be a Boy Scout leader, why don't you just walk in the door and be a Boy Scout leader?
He was. Last year, the case that started all of this stuff, he was an active Boy Scout leader.
And?
Someone found out he was gay.
So
they kicked him out and they wouldn't let him be a Boy Scout leader and he sued.
Okay.
He'd already been doing a fine job.
Okay.
So, and that's what I'm saying is that, you know, a lot of people seem to be up in arms over this. Well, we can't let gay men be Boy Scout leaders. Well, why? I mean, what do they think is going to happen? They're going to make s'mores and tell creepy stories by the campfire like they always have?
Maybe they're going to find golden tablets with things written on them. I don't want to cast any aspersions. I don't know. I'll be honest with you. Most Mormon people I met seem very cool. And there's an episode of South Park where one of the kids, Stan or whatever, who's Jewish, goes over to his friend's house who is Mormon, and the whole family's sitting around. They're playing games and they're watching family movie night and they're eating popcorn. And he goes back and tells his parents, and the dad's really going to go over there and give him a piece of his mind. And he goes over there and they're like, "Oh, you're Stan's father. Hey, have a seat. You know, hey, would you like some fresh brownies?" And, you know, by the time he leaves, he can't even be mad at them because they were, like, so nice and kind and polite to him.
Actually, I just read something at the end of the story that puts a different little spin on this.
Yes.
The Boy Scouts' new policy, the problem that the LDS Church has with it is that the policy doesn't make a distinction between openly gay and sexually active. So it's okay with the LDS people if gay men are troop leaders, provided they're not in a relationship with a partner or having a same-sex relationship or sex or anything like that, which puts the Boy Scouts of America directly in the middle of determining someone else's behavior, legal behavior.
Well, also, I don't know exactly why that would make a difference.
I don't know, but that's what they're claiming their beef is.
Where's the beef?
Yikes.
Like 1% of the crowd listening to this will even get that. Where's the beef?
Yeah. Let's see. Bruce sent this one in Florida.
Florida!
Boy Gene Wiley. Three names. 47-year-old man from Florida. Let's see. He apparently likes weed a lot. And he went into the sheriff's office and accused deputies of stealing his stash.
Those bastards.
90-something plants.
And he wanted to complain to the supervisor. He said that he was growing medical marijuana. However, Florida is not a medical marijuana state yet. It's still totally illegal.
And I got news for you. I can't remember because it's been a long time since I grew weed. But 90-something plants for your own consumption, that's a lot of bud. That's a lot of bud.
Maybe he's in a lot of pain. He is now.
I mean, that's several pounds. You know, of a really good size budded plant, that's several pounds for every plant. You know, you're talking probably 300 pounds. You could smoke a pound a day, almost.
So,
it'd keep you out of a lot of other trouble.
Yeah, they found 90 plants. He was arrested right away. He posted bond. It was a $1,004 bond, which is really a weird number, but okay. He posted bond. Then he was arrested a couple days later because he slammed a neighbor with a shovel over the head because he said the neighbor owed him money. And the neighbor wasn't the one who called the police. Wiley called the police to complain that he had been hit in the face during the brawl.
What do you suppose?
And since he was the aggressor, they arrested him for
battery.
What
do you suppose the neighbor owed him money for?
Weed.
Weed.
Is that weed?
Is that? Oh, my God.
Was that our marijuana?
No, you didn't know. My friend Mark and I were interviewing someone. We're hanging out at X2O. This girl walks up. We're smoking hookah.
Which
on
is tobacco.
A main street in a rather conservative Glendora, California. Girl walks up and goes, "Is that weed?" Like she was like trailer trash.
Right.
You know,
and she was very excited.
She said it like three times. I'm like, "No, it's hookah supplied by the coffee shop we're at." Is that weed?
Sure.
Go yeah, inside. She didn't get hired.
Yeah. Let's see.
Are you looking for flame?
No, my fan.
Oh, your fan.
Phil K sent this one in.
Philk.
Union County. I don't know where that is. Jonesville? Anybody know where Jonesville is? Sheriff's...
That sing a little, Bruce?
No, not really. I'm surprised.
The sheriff's office arrested Monica Marie Ryans, 24
Three
years old.
Three names.
She tried to smuggle contraband into the county jail.
Where'd she put it?
In a Bible.
Where'd she put the Bible?
She carried it in.
Okay.
She told the supervisor that the Bible was supposed to be given to an inmate, probably her boyfriend. The supervisor thought that when he took the Bible that it didn't look or feel right, so they x-rayed it. During the x-ray, the green plant material that was crammed inside the binding was noticed. They opened the bottom binding and found loose tobacco, white paper, and three marijuana joints. Yes. So she was arrested.
She and her Bible got to go in together.
Yes.
Yes.
They found
news.
Her.
We got good news and bad news. The yeah. Bible can't go in.
Yeah.
What's
you
the good can. News? What's the good news? That was the good news.
Yeah.
Bad news is you can.
They found her hiding in her car in the jail parking lot. This woman really is a few tacks short of a box, isn't she?
Yes.
Because really, you're going to hide in your own car in the parking lot of the jail after you've handed over a Bible with weed in it. Oh, brother. Dumb criminals.
You think at the very least she would have just left.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't matter.
Is he jig?
Ease up.
Ease up.
Bruce sent this story in. I say sent. He copied and pasted it. Let's see. Novak.
I researched it and found it. Thank you.
Novak Djokovic was getting dizzy during a tennis match.
He's a tennis star.
It says world number one tennis player. I've never heard of him.
Djokovic.
Okay. He said he was getting dizzy because marijuana was smoked courtside in Montreal. When they were playing.
Huh.
And he approached the umpire. And he said, and I'm quoting him here, "Someone is smoking weed. I can smell it. I'm getting dizzy. Somebody is getting high. Can you smell it? The whole place smells of it." Now, he said he couldn't believe how bad it was.
Paranoia will destroy you.
But apparently no one else noticed this.
Get down to the last quote.
It says, yesterday, another quote, "Yesterday in the doubles match, today again, somebody's really enjoying his life around the tennis court, but it's starting to adversely affect my game. What my win today may have been lucky. It's difficult to play tennis when you feel dizzy."
Da-da-da.
Good point.
We're smoking a lot of weed up there in the tennis court. Shelly smells weed. It makes her sick to her stomach.
Yeah.
How'd you like to be a guy who has an adverse reaction to weed? You're in the world championships. You smell people smoking weed.
Or sparks one up. And
the guy across from you is like, "Can you guys sit upwind from this guy and
blow
smoke?"
Let's see. Bruce found this one as well. Why do you keep putting your names on these? Because when I find them, I don't put my name on them.
I just, so you know.
Okay. The Saudis, wait a minute, what?
Oh, yeah.
They have a fix for men with less than desirable, which is spelled wrong, wives.
Yes. Wait till you hear this.
Wait a minute. Why don't you explain this?
They have okayed it for married guys who are under 40. If their wives are deemed to be not too desirable, that they're allowed to do hallucinogens to make them appear more like, what's the person? Starts with an H.
Houris.
Houris, which is like the...
It's a nymph.
Beautiful yeah. women of the yep. their Bible.
Wow. Really?
Yeah, really.
So if they just want to get high, all they have to do is go to the local imam and say that their wife is so ugly they can't have sex with her, and
yes.
they'll be given hallucinogens.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know. Mark, do you ever do hallucinogens? Acid or mushrooms or anything?
Yes.
I'm thinking that hallucinogens don't necessarily make that situation better.
They just make whatever the situation is more vibrant.
Right. So it's like they may appear 20 times as ugly yeah. or less desirable and could really just F up your high is what I'm thinking.
That's
this all
just
sounds like a reason to get high.
Yeah.
Because in Saudi Arabia, how many wives are they allowed to have?
Four.
So really?
One of them. So you're already allowed. If you picked four ugly wives in a row.
Yeah, it's on you.
Then you should just move to Buffalo.
Oh. Ouch. It's on you. If you yeah. pick four ugly wives in a row, your picker is broken.
Yeah.
Well, and. Or maybe if you've picked four ugly women in a row, maybe you don't understand what beauty is.
Or maybe you're not that hot.
Yeah.
Doesn't say the women get to eat any acid.
Maybe you've got four not-so-hot wives because you've got a bee on your pants.
You're going to shoot the bee over to Mark?
I just flicked the bee toward Mark.
Where did it go?
I don't know. Stand up and wiggle.
Stand up
and... This should be epic. Oh, it's on the chair.
I know if it's
hungry.
It's on the chair. There's two. There's one over there. No, there's a spider on the chair behind you. See? Do you see it? No, on the chair. Did you get it?
The cigar got it.
It is the wild animal kingdom here tonight. Holy crap.
I got it.
Well, now it's going toward my chair. Holy crap.
He's making a jailbreak.
Where is
he? He is. Here he comes.
Where is he?
Slipper of death.
This is exciting for the listeners at home.
We herded the thing halfway across the studio to the slipper of death.
Sorry, everybody. Bugs happen.
We're going to get a letter saying you guys are so unfeeling towards spiders and bees.
Well, no, I would prefer to keep
the
bee.
I saw you lighting up the bee, and I was like, I got no place to go.
didn't even think about
just
it. Sorry.
Right at me.
And you know what? We're probably going to see quite a few more bees because of all the smoke in the air. It disorients them.
Yeah. Okay.
And they don't like it. Yeah. Okay, well, that, my excellent friends, was the end of the Boosie News and the news not fit for bees.
Looking for a new mattress? Not sure where to go or how to start? Want to make sure you get the best mattress for your money and one that will give you years of sleeping pleasure? There's only one answer, and that is Dreamland Discount Mattress in Covina. At Dreamland, Bruce and his dedicated team will ensure that you find the right mattress at the right price that will give you years of sleeping comfort. Dreamland Discount Mattress offers a wide range of options, styles, and choices, all at up to 80% off. Want to hear what many of their customers are saying about them? Check them out on Yelp to learn why you should become a satisfied customer of Dreamland Discount Mattress too. Go by and visit them at 1007 North Azusa Avenue in Covina, or give them a call at 626-331-8044. And remember, at Dreamland Discount Mattress, prices are always up to 80% off.
Hey, I'm Dr. Drew, and you are listening to Recovery 101.
Doesn't hurt.
We're back.
Welcome back.
Shelley.
What?
Your dreams were your ticket out.
I don't know. My dreams are pretty interesting.
That kind of almost leads in to what we're going to talk about.
It does?
No, but it leads into what we're going to talk about in the next show.
Oh.
Unless you want to switch topics.
I was going to use the segue and to...
Okay, well, just segue into that one. Do we care?
I don't care.
Okay, go
okay,
for it.
So, Mark. Mark's got a topic for us.
Guy with about 30 years was speaking at a meeting a couple weeks ago.
And was it you?
No, it wasn't me. And then he gave a topic. And his topic was to talk about your goals and dreams. And I took my phone out.
Dreams were your ticket out.
I took my phone out, hit your name, and immediately texted to you. So, goals and dreams versus fantasies and delusions.
Yes. Yes.
And because all I could think about was the fact that, I mean, well, two things to about goals and dreams. Goals and dreams get a little, that's a little bit of a scary spot for me.
See, when I first came in, my goal and my dream was to not get loaded another day.
Yeah.
I mean, my dreams were really, like, lightweight because I was like, if I could not get loaded, that would be fan-freaking-tastic.
I mean, because for me to set goals, I have to set goals that I can get to legitimately.
Because well, if you're going to set realistic goals.
I know how to achieve goals. I don't always take the straight line method to get there in my life. But I could achieve.
Yeah, you want to achieve 50 grand? Yeah, go sell a kilo of Coke.
Yeah, I'm not going to use any. It'll be pure profit for me.
Oh, yeah, I won't use any.
Not yet. I know right where to sell it.
On Holt?
No. Right outside the
CA meeting.
Right outside the recovery hospitals in Malibu. Those people are ready to buy. They got money.
Yeah. Wow. I remember people used to sit outside of Impact House in Pasadena on Mondays. They used to have a thing called Black Monday.
Yeah.
And you would get kicked out, and if you had any check or anything, government check or GR, general relief, or anything like that, these guys would be sitting out in front of the place. They'd be more than happy to give you a ride to cash your check.
Yep.
And then on the way there, they'd start talking about getting loaded. By the time you got there, you couldn't wait to cash your check.
By the time you got there, you owed them the check.
Yes.
Yeah. So, but, you know, it's like, and then what kind of goals did we have when we were out getting loaded? That's where the fantasies and delusions came in.
What do you think, Shelley? Because I have a really good example of this, but
I'm still processing. You might want to go ahead with
yours. I have a friend. This is going to be a not a real name. Anna. When I was 16 years old, she and I and my friend Craig would sit around loaded on his couch eating Doritos and watching reruns of Gilligan's Island, and we would talk about all the fantastic things we're going to do.
Yes.
Actually, Craig and Anna still sit around talking about all the great things they're going to do.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's been 45 years. Maybe you should start working on some of that. Or it's been 40 years. Maybe you should start working on some of that.
Well, I'm going to type that into a bucket list now.
Because, exactly. Because, you know, I'm going to start this house cleaning business, or I'm going to refurb motorcycles for a living, and, you know, the exact same things they were talking about 35, 40 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Because their goals and dreams, by staying loaded, they're never going to achieve any kind of goals except the goal they want to achieve the most, which is getting loaded.
Similar to walking into a lot of meetings.
Yeah.
People are still sharing the same stuff they were sharing last time I walked into a meeting several months ago someplace. Same conversations. Still stuff they're going to do.
And you know what? Sometimes it's okay if the conversation is like really recovery-oriented, but it's like people are bitching about the same problems they had 11 months ago because they've never really done anything to get out of that problem.
Although, you know what I learned? Sometimes when you're gone for a while, it's really not the same. Because I went to a meeting and this girl was sharing for about 3-4 weeks straight about her boyfriend being in jail and raising her son and when he gets out and the whole thing. And I didn't go to the meeting for like 6 months.
And then she said her husband?
No.
Oh, her husband.
I go to the meeting 6 months later. She's sharing almost the same thing. And I'm like, God, don't you ever move on?
Different guy?
No. Same guy, got out of jail. Is now back in jail. So it's kind of a new share for her.
So what do you think? What do you think, Shelley?
I don't know. My goals and dreams and... I think that my goals and dreams are actually delusion and fantasy. But I've had the same ones pretty much my whole life. So...
Which are?
I'd like to write something that sells.
You
and I'd like to live in a nice house.
You do?
No.
You do.
Are you on hallucinogens?
No, but they never completely leave your system. But
yes,
did you ever have a dream about getting married? Score. Having a house? Score. Being a great writer? Score. You have people tell you all the time that they would buy things if you wrote them.
Well,
You already have written. Yeah, all you're doing is editing to publish.
Other things tend to seem to... What I don't get is I have goals and dreams, blah, blah, blah. When I was drinking or in my state of dryness, which apparently, according to my sponsor, I'm back in.
Well, that explains a lot.
I tend to want to manage and control myself and my surroundings to the point where I can't get anything else done.
Your sponsor sucks.
Why does she suck? It's true.
Well, if she spent more time with you, you wouldn't be in that space.
Well, if I called her more often.
This is her fault.
If I called her more often, she'd spend more time with
me. This is her fault. Let me help you with this.
Actually, we already set up another meeting for like 2 weeks from now, and I have to get busy writing or I'm going to be in trouble.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe it's fear, a subconscious fear of success. I have no idea. But the things that I wanted back then are still the things that I want now. They just still seem as unattainable as they were then.
I think possibly. And maybe this happens to a lot of people in program. As a matter of fact, I'm almost positive it does. And I'll relate this to the Big Book. Mm-hmm. There's a part in the Big Book where they talk about alcoholics almost invariably. They've got some deal, and it's just about to happen, and they're going to share generously in the profits, and then they get drunk and they F everything up.
Yeah,
maybe that is the it's like the wanton fear of failure. You know, it's like they don't think they really deserve something, so when they get the opportunity to kind of get it, they kind of F it up. Because you're writing or have written a book of sorts. People have already told you that they're totally willing to buy it. You're in the editing phase. You've already written everything. All you need to do is edit it.
You keep saying this because you don't understand the process.
You don't understand, Bruce.
You have a year of social media.
Be more understanding.
Oh, for crap's sake. Just, we don't need to dissect me on the show. We have a topic that deals with generalities here.
But what I'm saying is, you have done... Would you say that you've done 95% of the writing already?
No.
85%?
Nope. Maybe 70.
Because before you told me we just need to edit.
Of course,
that's not what I said.
If you shorten the book now, maybe you've done 85.
Shorten the book, you've done 100%.
That's right.
That's not what I said. You weren't listening.
Quite right.
Yes.
So, Mark,
we've
heard a couple of what Shelley's hopes and dreams. When you first got sober, what were your hopes and dreams?
To not die.
Right?
I mean, there were.
You've been pretty successful in your hopes and dreams.
I walked in the door, and you know, and we talked about things because you know,
this fits in with next show's topic, too.
It does. Yeah, it does. So we just carry from one to the next. You know, I mean, I look at it where I achieved a lot of what I wanted. And if I take the time to step back, I'm really content with where I'm at today.
You achieved the not die really well.
Yeah.
Because it's 30 years later, you're still kicking.
Yeah, you know. You know, not die. Some of the things I haven't achieved, some of the goals.
I think the not die is...
I wanted to learn to use normally.
I think the not die is fairly universal.
Yeah. But didn't you, when you first came in, wanted to learn how to use normally?
Well, yeah, the first time.
Yeah.
See, the problem is, between my story and your story, I attempted that hundreds of times after that.
Yeah, see, I haven't
before gotten... I realized that was never going to work. Yeah. I attempted over and over again.
Yeah, I'm like Joshua in War Games. I came to the realization that the only way to win is not to play.
That's true. Just saw the end of that movie the other day. It's a great movie. Shelley?
Yes?
When you came around, did you have a desire not to die? Is that one of your hopes?
Well, I don't know that that was a hope. That was my end goal was I don't want to die right now.
She had organs that were protesting.
Yeah, I had organs that were failing.
So 8 years later, you're still here.
Yes, I'm still here.
Almost 9 years, almost.
Yeah, no fronts.
Almost 9 years.
Insects. They lure me. I was physically on the verge of death at one point, and I didn't die, and I was really glad. But when I first came in, my primary goal, I think, was to stay sober long enough to get you off my back. And then I could go back to doing what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
Well, that worked immediately because I got off your back when I found you drunk.
He's still on your back.
I said you might want to do something about that.
No, I wasn't even in the program at that point.
No, I know. I said, even when I found you drunk, I'm like, you might want to look at that. I didn't even get on your back about that. I told you, you might want to look at it. I didn't say I'm going to help you do anything with it because that doesn't work. When I first got sober, I was on the street. Like, my goals were pretty easy. One, I don't want to die. I don't want to get loaded anymore, and it'd be really nice if I could find a place to live and some semblance of order of regular food. And that was really it. I mean, I was beat down so badly so many times that my goals were not very high. And you hear this a lot in the program where people say, if I had written a list of all the stuff I hope to get in recovery, I have way surpassed my list, which is true because my list was quite short. Don't die, get a roof over your head, stop getting loaded, have regular food. Mm-hmm. And went and had all-you-could-eat sushi last night. I'm sitting in a rockin' studio in Laguna Beach, California. Yeah. I've got a nice cigar in my hand. I got friends here. I'm drinking cans of Diet Pepsi and throwing them in the recycling when I used to be the guy going around getting it out of everybody's recycling. Yeah.
Shake it and see if there's a sip left.
Yeah, no.
Okay. No. You never got that desperate, huh?
No, I have smoked the occasional cigarette butt, so... Oh. In the past.
Done the hobo smoke?
Yeah.
Taking the snipes?
Done that many times.
Yeah.
And I never liked to do that. I didn't like to do that, but, if I wanted to smoke, that's what I'd do.
Part of the thing with this topic was I was sitting there in the meeting, and I was looking at the fact that what kind of goal could I set that would be like just a really cool goal?
Have a top-ranked recovery show?
No, but what if I set a goal of, I want to have $1 million in disposable income?
Me too.
Yeah. The thing is, I can probably start formulating a game plan to make that happen.
Uh-huh.
I've done it before. I can probably do it again. But there's a lot of things involved there that start taking my program and going sideways, and not about getting loaded, but just about things I'm not willing to do anymore.
Right.
But if I set a goal, will I change? Once again, like a true addict, will I change my behaviors
To achieve the goal.
To achieve the goal, or will I change the goal to suit my behaviors?
I have a similar thing actually happening in my life right now with my store. I have really, really, really high Yelp reviews.
Uh-huh.
5 out of 5 stars. Because I really, really, really take care of all the customers.
Right.
You got a problem, we're going to get it taken care of.
Yep.
I have people that are like, dude, why are you doing that? Why do you do this? Why do you do that? Why do you do that? And I'm like, why don't you just do it the way every other store does it? I'm like, because it's better for the customer if I do it this way.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, but it's not really better for you. I'm like, but I'm going to survive, and I'm not going to have mm-hmm. my survival be
right.
built on the backs of people yeah. who don't deserve anything less than great service.
Well, and then you know, you could sit and if you sat and really add it up, but you don't ask the question enough, but you do ask it in your store. If you add up the total number of sales you have from people who came in and bought because you have a 5-star Yelp rating.
Oh no, we do ask.
But not every time and not all the time.
No, but we have about 70% of our businesses from Yelp.
But people who came in and they said, I came in here and bought because you have a 5-star rating on Yelp. So if you just added up those ones, that's why they came.
Right.
And then you offset that with the number of things you've done to accommodate your clientele that perhaps you didn't need to do and that did cost you a little bit of money.
Yes.
But you ended up with another guy who wanted to write you a 5-star review.
Right. I love that
you're ahead of the game.
I love the people that write a review.
Yeah.
Not because they were even that, you know, whatever. Like, I get a lot of them. Oh, I love the price. I love this. I love that. But the people that go, you know what? I had a problem with the mattress. And, man, they just stepped up to the plate, just got everything fixed right away. They go, I can't believe it. Nobody does that. And I'm like,
I was your fix-it guy for a
while.
I'm
like, we do that. We do that.
Yeah.
Now, Shelly, do you ever tell anything? Do you ever, when you have sponsees that come to you with, what if Sponsee comes to you with what you deem to be an unreasonable goal? Do you assuage them?
I just laugh at them,
but go ahead.
Do you try and dissuade them from such a goal, or do you encourage the goal, or what do you do?
No, if it seems like it's too big, break it down into smaller parts. What can you do now?
Ooh.
That's what I always tell them. Which part of this can you do right now?
So, if you said, let's say they have a big goal. Their big
yeah.
goal is to...
I saw this little winky face, mister.
The
I know
the big
where
goal
this
is to
going.
Publish a book.
Motherfucker.
How would you tell them to break that down in smaller bits so it would be attainable by
maybe
now?
Like 70 or 75% of the writing.
It's already done.
Somewhere.
Too many bugs.
It's on your chest. It's climbing up your neck.
Yes, it is climbing up your neck.
It's
you got it.
Blouse.
Wait, what was the question?
I was just using an example of if someone wanted to write a book.
Yes.
How would you advise them to break that down into smaller parts so that would be an attainable goal?
The first smaller part would be to ask another person to get his little man cave together so that he could move out of the fabulous studio and take all his crap with him so that I would have a place to pursue that.
That's it?
Delusions have kicked in.
That's it.
I know delusions have kicked in.
Well, no, because I remember when it was, I'm going to set up my own room in the house. It's going to be my room and all my stuff's in it, and you can have the garage. So that's what I did.
Right.
Yes.
And that was what was needed to be done before. Now I need to set up
yes.
a different place and get out of the garage.
Yes. You can even have my crap room if you want.
I get both rooms?
Well, no. Because
can
I
knock out the
to...
wall in between them and have a gigantic cigar club room?
I need a place to put my clothes, honey, because you took all the other closets.
You clothes horse, you.
He is. He's got two old closets plus piles of clothes everywhere.
Okay. This is the problem with wearing the
awesome
identical size I wore. I had saved my Angel Flight suit from the 70s, I could still wear it.
Here's the problem. We have figured out. You put out a problem to see how Shelley would bite off this goal that she has, and she's instantly deflected this to you not
yes.
getting your man cave.
Woohoo!
We have figured out why this doesn't happen.
Deflection.
Because Well, it's not the default. We were talking about this earlier. The problem is I've tried to sit in my crap room with my laptop and get this stuff done. I can't write in there.
She can't write on the laptop because the keyboard's wrong. And she can't smoke.
I can't smoke out there in there. And so I get distracted. I come in for a cigarette. It's just, no, I can't.
Why?
Because we don't smoke in our house.
Yeah, it's your house. You could change the rule.
Well, no, because I want my grandson to be able to come over.
Don't tell anybody.
Now, be it understood, the man cave will be
smoking.
Available for cigar smoking because I'm just going to put air purifiers in there. Just like what they have up at the cigar shop in Glendora.
Right.
They got them at Costco for like $79 that will like clean like 1,000 square feet of air a minute. And it's like that room's only 150 square feet.
Right.
You know, that thing's going to be like fresh air. It's going to have better air than.
It's going to be like a Downey commercial.
It'll suck all the air out of the house.
It's going to be like a Downey commercial.
Yeah, it's going to be like I'm in the High Sierras all the time.
Okay, now that we've made the show go sideways.
It was all part of the show.
Yeah.
So,
I'm
Shelley,
sure the listeners really wanted to hear
about that.
What
would your final words be on... We need a way to shorten the title of this thing. We can't have a
beat. Hopes and Dreams.
Too.
That's what he said.
Well, yeah, but it was Hopes and Dreams versus...
Goals and Delusions.
Goals and Delusions.
Goals and Delusions. What's your final words on
Welcome
Goals and Delusions?
Welcome to the Grand Delusion.
Welcome to the Grand Illusion.
I knew that was going to happen.
So I threw it out.
You set him up. Yes,
come
you
on in and... See what's happening. I can't remember.
Yeah, I think
see what's happening.
Something.
My final words would be, well, if you have a brilliant idea of something that you would like to do in your life, go ahead and do it. Because if it all goes pear-shaped, it wasn't meant to be anyway.
There you go. Mark.
I think that... you need to be a little careful about the methods you use to achieve things that you put in front of you.
That's a good point, too. I would say that...
Keep your motives in check.
I would say that keep your goals reasonable and don't make them dependent on other people.
Because that shit
keep
ain't happening,
lady.
Keep
your feet on the ground and keep shooting for the
stars. Keep reaching for the stars.
Thank you, Casey.
Hey, Casey Kasem. America's Top 40. Well, actually, that was a little oaky sounding for him.
It was.
I liked him.
Way too long now. Can we end it now?
It's awesome.
Actually, it's exactly the right amount of time.
Okay, maybe it's just me because I'm done now.
Okay.
So why don't you tell us about our friends?
Who?
You?
Well, the thing we discuss at this point of the show every time, one where we ask people if they want to listen to us how to do it, and the other is...
Yeah, shut up.
Ooh, ow. Ooh, someone give her a knife or something. Gun.
Well, turn around, let me get it out of your back.
Yeah.
You can go to 12stepgazette.com/IE to read the Southern California edition of the 12-Step Gazette. And there is another version, I assume, online without the IE. I'm sure you can find that, too.
12stepgazette.com. Mark, people listen to the show.
They do. We really appreciate that.
Yes, we do.
Is it my imagination, or did they change the whole design?
Everything.
Yeah,
they want everyone to be a member of Facebook. And
yeah. Yeah,
which
it's really inconvenient for me, by the way.
It's it's really easy to become a member if you are a member of Facebook.
Right.
The thing is, they're trying to turn Podomatic into a Facebooky type of site, which is not really what it's for.
I noticed that. I started thinking about us looking for another spot.
Well, we are really, really, really working on that now. We bought a bunch of domain hosting. This is just an addendum. There will be a time soon, within the next month or so, where... you will go to a page that's going to be our page, and it's going to be administrated by us. It will still pull data from the Podomatic site, so we can still check ratings and things like that. But it's going to be our site. You won't be required to log in there.
We'll be able to take calls maybe once we switch over to a new site.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah, well, yeah.
Brother.
Because we said we're going to have that done by September.
Last year.
No, 2015.
Yes. No, it was last year, honey.
2015.
No, you didn't say 2015. You
yeah,
said
of
by
course
September.
I did.
You said
September
by
2015.
No, we said this.
September. We're still fine. We're
yeah,
not there yet.
I'm
we're,
saying September.
We're getting close.
I'm saying September.
Procrastination.
Sometime.
Excitement. Some or emotion.
Procrastination.
Procrastination.
Oh, anyway, on the rest of the listening to the show.
Yeah. So we ask that you go to however you get the show and find the show and listen to the show. We do ask that you go to our site at recovery101.net or last30days.com or recovery101.rocks. And that will take you to our Podomatic site where you can go up and do your duty. You can...
Makes it sound like people are going to take a crap
right.
on our
you
site. Can, do your duty.
First off, if you come in and you're not yet a member of Podomatic, you will be asked to join. Join Podomatic. It's free.
And fun.
And you can then like shows and follow and leave comments and add us to your playlists. And participate in all the things that we do that are that we need you to do to help with our demographics. Thank you.
Yes. And they will ask you if you want to join Podomatic and you are Facebook friendly. It makes it super easy to join Podomatic. You just say log in with Facebook, which will allow you to do all the things Mark talked about. If you are Facebook friendly, we do have the Recovery 101 Radio Show fan page. We'd love if you go in there and like that. We also have the Recovery 101 secret group, which we're going to tell you about now, so it won't be much of a secret.
There goes that.
If you want to get into the secret group, you can message us on the Recovery 101 Radio Show fan page account. You can message Shelley Burnett or Bill Piper, and they will add you to the group, and that will make it easy. We've got an email address, recovery101radio@gmail.com. We've got videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101rule62.
Do not take yourself so damn seriously.
Shelley.
Yes.
Who's the lead out music by?
Billy the Kid and the Lucky Poets.
Billy the Kid and the Lucky Poets. Guillermo and the Boys. Everybody, try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
We're out.
Take care of you.
There comes a point in everybody's life when you're not as young as you used to be, and you'll wake one day and you just won't feel the same, and you won't know why, but your world has changed. Colors don't shine like they used to. Stars don't shine like they used to. I don't wanna get, I don't wanna get old, I don't wanna get old, I wanna stay young forever, forever. I don't wanna get, I don't wanna get old, I don't wanna get old, I wanna stay young forever, forever. There comes a point in everybody's life. We'll wake one. point in everybody's life when you're not as young as you used to be. And you'll wake one day and you just won't feel the same, and you won't know why, but the world has changed. I don't want.